FreedomSlips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Red, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Try to unmute. There we go. Here I am. Welcome, welcome, everybody, to the Christine Korda Show here on Revolution Radio, which you can find at FreedomSlips.com. I hope that I technically got everything connected. Let me tell you something. It is so good to be here. Today is August 8th, 2022, and it is still microwave setting medium high in Connecticut today. I don't know how it is in your end of America, but my goodness, if you're out, be very careful. It's so hot. Other than that, it is a blessing to be here. I am Christine Korda, and this is the Christine Korda Show, and you're listening to me in Studio B on Revolution Radio, the number one in listener-supported radio in the world. I want to thank you all for being here. Today I have some bad news and I want to thank you guys. I muted it and then I unmuted it and then muted it again because that's how I roll. But I have some sad news and I just want to say it before I start the show. Olivia Newton-John passed away and I'm sort of frazzled because, you know, you grow up with these people and I remember her when I was a young girl. I listened to all her music, and I was so addicted to Grease and John Travolta, of course, and I just am devastated over hearing it. That, and I didn't know that she was 73. She didn't look 73, but she did die of breast cancer, and I mean, nobody's going to listen to me, but I hope that she rests in peace, and she was such a gift and such a blessing to so many people. But today, I have a guest who was also a blessing. She meets. I mean, this girl's got balls. I mean, Facebook is a very difficult thing to navigate, and for the last 2 years, you know that I've been talking about the shots and the conspiracy theories that are not so conspiratorial anymore, are they? And this girl is right up there with me and other people like me. I think she should get her own show, but that's her business. And Tracy, I'm going to say welcome. I don't know how to pronounce your last name, and I didn't know if you wanted your last name said, so you can come say hello and tell us about yourself a little before we start. If that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, no, I go by Tracy Willoughby on Facebook, but I have a, you know, wacko ex-husband, so I don't go by my legal name anymore.
Yeah, I
so.
hear that. Yes. It's nice to have you on, and I've been, I don't know how long we've been connected on Facebook, but I tell you, I literally go on Facebook and look for your account, because not only are you brave and unapologetic about it, but also you share the funniest stuff. I literally die. I mean, it's kind of like off color, but we are like, two of us are like, we're going to hell, but this is funny.
Yeah.
You know, these things are terrible. I mean, Justin Bieber's face, poor Justin Bieber, we have these things going back about his face, has his face gotten more ticks, and, you know, it's not funny, but after a while, it's like, okay, you got to do it, you know?
Right. I have a dark sense of humor, and like you said, you have to laugh at all this absurdity, really.
It really is absurd. I was looking at Ashton Kutcher. Is that his name, Ashton Kutcher?
Yeah.
And he's got, you know, you can't answer anybody. You can't, Yahoo, literally, they have filters for the words. You cannot
right.
be a, you can't be a big fat meanie on Yahoo. And believe me, they have a whole bunch of subjective definitions for who's a big fat meanie. And I said, we're going to celebrate vaccine injury and autoimmune disorders. And that's what they're doing.
Right.
And on Facebook, it's like, I you posted the lady doctor, the scientist who was on, who said
right.
after you get the vaccine, you're downhill from there. She explained it so eloquently that I got so mad. They said that's causing physical harm. I was like, I used the F word, and it was brilliant. I mean, they literally are living, we're living in hell with people like
right.
that.
Yeah.
And we can't let up.
Yeah, I got slapped by Facebook for sharing that. Yeah.
And, you know, you're probably the only person that I know who says, Trump's not going to save us.
Right.
You know, it's been almost 2 years, and I have people who I love dearly, and they're like, Trump's coming back, and the army's coming back, and do you remember your history and the, what do they call it, the Bolshevets? I can't pronounce it.
Yeah.
And they're going to bring the soldiers are going to save everybody. No, they're not. And I think that it's gotten to the point where now truth is what is needed to heal this world. Do you
right.
agree with that?
Yeah, and I, you know, if I voted, which I don't believe in voting anymore, I'm a voluntarist, but if I were forced to vote, I would vote for Biden over Trump merely because then the people on the right who believe in the Constitution, they won't go to sleep, because if their guy is in charge, then they'll be like, oh, he's playing 4D chess, so even though he's taking our gun rights away, we'll just lay over for it. So at least if Biden or somebody like him is in the White House, the puppet, you know, at least then some on the right will still retain their pushback and, you know, fight for it. But if their guy is in the office, and then they'll just roll over.
That's a really good point. That's an exceptionally good point. I never thought about it like that. I experienced satanic ritual abuse, and I understand MKUltra fear-based mind control.
Yeah.
And you get into cults. And if you read about conditioning and cult mentality, you can see it. You can
mm-hmm.
see it happening. You have the protagonist and the antagonist and the hero, and everybody's like, I tell my friends, I say, he's not coming back. We're pretty much, he's not coming back. We're doomed, you know? And they're making money hand over foot off of it.
Mm-hmm. And he's the one that pushed the warp speed ahead.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then set it up as a national emergency and had everybody listen to Fauci. He's the one that put all this in motion.
I know it. And I know it. Oh, come on. Yeah. No, somebody in chat doesn't understand why you said you would vote for Biden. But see, people don't understand. To get to the truth, you have to go through so much, and it is not easy.
Right.
You know, and it's like, because you're a survivor of abuse, mm-hmm. and you know exactly the techniques that they use.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to be lulled to sleep. That's why, you know, Biden at least keeps the constitutionalists on their toes and supposedly will keep him in check. But, you know, if, like I said, if their guy is in office, then they'll go back to sleep saying he's the savior, so he knows what he's doing.
Well, that's why, and I try to explain to people, that's why they have him. Because if you think that one or two people are going to do something,
yeah,
because people don't understand controlled opposition.
Yep.
They really don't. And if you think that people are going to save you and you're okay and, oh, he's bringing it back, we're good. Oh, look, he took our guns away. Oh, that's okay. We'll get them back. That's exactly, that's the nature of the beast right there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of sad because America's a great country.
Yeah.
And it's scary. It's just, it bothers me. I get very angry because I look, you know, I see people at the park and they're playing with their kids and I'm like, my God. You know, these are people who are decent people who work every day. They're raising their family. They're putting their family through college and school. And they're out of the goodness of their heart, they're going to get vaccines and they're going to, they don't want to hurt people and they're trying to be nice and they have banners in their windows. And those are the kind of people that the Bidens and the Trumps and the Fauci and other people are taking advantage of.
Right. Yep.
But you do. I want to call you an energy worker because I've read your posts and your blog is just beautiful, and your writing is just phenomenal. It really is. I had one on Substack. I did put your link in the. Let me see if I can get that down. I put it in the chat.
Yeah, I just started it again. You know. Incorporated some of my other old blog posts into there and I'll start being more regular on it.
See, that's my thing. And I'm not regular on it. And then I have like two people come and look at it. A half a person looked at it 1 month and I was like, gee, that's good. I did good. And that bothers me a lot because, you know, it doesn't feel good when you're writing and you put your soul into it and then like two people come in, you know?
Yeah.
And you also worked in that, I don't want to say the group, we're in a group together on so other social media, and that's where you got your edge for, because it's hard to get through abuse. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think your story is important because the whole country's in an abusive relationship.
Yes, it is. Good point.
And so
the whole world is.
Yeah, yep. Pretty much. And it's almost like we're all, because what do they call that? You start to get, it's so hot, I'm not going to be able to remember my words. You become attached to your abuser, you become their enabler.
Stockholm Syndrome?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And you defend them for, well, they just care about the vaccines, and they want us to be healthy, and come on, they're going to beat the crap out of us again, let's help them.
You have to. Well, as you know, the Stockholm Syndrome, but also worldwide we see it because to admit that you were wrong when you first believed this, because, you know, panic, I think probably everybody initially thought, oh, maybe this is something to be concerned about. But then a lot of us just like, oh, you know, same thing that they've been doing for years.
Yeah.
But when we want to believe our governments, we want to believe that they have our best at heart, we want to believe big corporations, big pharma. I mean, to believe that they might be nefarious and greedy, that is hard for some people to deal with. But me and a lot of people, we're either very logical and we can see the patterns, or we have dealt with the shadow side and we can see how people and corporations can be evil, if you want to say evil. And so the people now who are still believing it, I think they have this fight within themselves, whether they realize it or not, that they're starting to see, well, you know, things aren't adding up. But then that means that they have to realize that they've been wrong and admit to themselves that they've been wrong and admit to all that they've gone along with, which took away the rights of not only themselves, but other people, and maybe have caused deaths, you know, these shots, you know, that going along with this narrative and they willingly participated has caused people to die. And that would be hard for them to, you know, reconcile that in their head. So I think a lot of them will just maintain the ignorance is bliss kind of mentality.
Yeah, I have a tendency to agree with that. And it's amazing because that's what I went through my whole life. In my childhood, it was used against me. I've worked with people, not a lot, but, you know, I've seen it happen. And it's not an easy thing to get out of. And it has a lot to do with the ego. It really does.
Yeah, yep, yeah, it does. Yeah.
And it's dark psychology at its best,
mm-hmm.
to be quite honest with you. But it's just something that nobody wants to say, oh, I made a mistake and voted for Trump.
Right.
Nobody wants to say I made a mistake and voted for Sippy Cup, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's reprehensible the way that he's treated.
Right, yeah.
And then they're all cheering on that they're busing illegal immigrants from Texas into New York. I don't think that's funny. Those are still human beings.
Right, yeah.
You know, and they have suffering. They have lives and children, and they're scared. And I don't think you should be using that for politics. That's a terrible thing.
Right.
But that's how they do it, and that's how they get us.
Yeah.
And it's sad. Angry.
Yeah.
And I say things, and I sit here on my show, and people are like, oh, you're so mean. Don't say that about the people who took the shot. And I'm like, why not? For 2 years, a lot of us have been trying to tell you.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you're not a victim.
Right. Right. Exactly. I mean, it, warp speed. What part of warp speed don't you understand? and trials, you know, there's supposed to be trials, human trials for a long time. And yeah. And you know, don't be so mean. Well, isn't lying being mean? You know, the truth sometimes does hurt, but the truth is, that old saying, the truth will set you free, but in the long run, it's better. You know, you're not enabling somebody. That's awful, enabling somebody.
The lies will kill. Truth hurts, but the lies will kill.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I remember learning it. It was a couple times during my life, and I had to look at myself and say, okay, Mom, Dad, everybody did what they did, but if I want to go on and I want to be a good example, the best example I can be for my children, I have to take responsibility at least for fixing what was broken, you
right.
know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the hardest thing. Because I ended up coming from them, going into abusive relationships, and then trying to justify it. How does that resonate with you in terms of like the abuse that you got out of? That's kind of a question, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, abuse doesn't happen in a vacuum. I mean, the people who are abusing you obviously were abused themselves. They didn't just wake up one day and say, oh, I think I'll be mean, you know? So it is a generational thing, or like in churches, it's just, you know, somebody who, well, like the saying goes, hurt people. They end up hurting and vomiting onto other people their self-loathing, their woundedness. And as a parent, I think that's what finally got me to really start to heal. I remember as a child, I wanted to have like a dozen kids. But then when I became more aware of the verbal abuse that was going on, I think I was around 15 or 16, I thought, there's no way I'm going to have children because I'm not going to pass this on. And then, then I had a child unexpectedly, but that was fine. But it made me just he was such a good baby that it was like, well, if my ex-husband couldn't be non-abusive and kind, then if this perfect child, you know, couldn't change someone, then it's not my fault. It's not my son's fault. It's the person's fault. And so I didn't want to also pass that down to my son. So I did a lot of work on that. And I did go to counseling for a while too. And that helped me, you know, start breaking the cycle. I wasn't perfect, certainly, but I know I was a lot better parent than my parents and their parents and so on till who knows how many generations passed. But
we need somebody to break the trail. We really do.
Yeah.
And it, how the heck we ended up doing that, I think of that like every day practically. I'm like, how the heck did I? Because, you know, I have two kids and it's like I adore them. And I think that it comes down to that. I think it comes down to love.
Mm-hmm.
We just have that maybe a little tiny bit more capacity, maybe. I don't know. But everybody makes a decision.
Right. Or courage. Or finally just saying enough is enough.
Some things are just wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we need in this country. And I honestly have been thinking, I think that God is not necessarily the Christian God or the Jewish God or the Muslim God. Just the creator is behind this saying, look. You know, look, open your eyes and look.
Right.
Evil can't be evil without our permission.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's the hardest thing. Because I've gone to many churches that try to tell you you're demonic, and if you don't do this, you do that, you're going to get smote or smited or whatever the past tense that is. And it becomes a battle of ourselves, you know?
Right. And like you said, if this wouldn't be happening if the majority didn't go along. I think it was Mark Passio, he says, you know, it's the order followers. And I always thought when I was growing up, I always thought, you know, Hitler wasn't the madman. It was his, you know, because you can just have someone spouting off weird stuff and diabolical stuff. But he's just some madman on the street corner. But it's the ones who actually are the foot soldiers who enact what he says, to do. They're the ones who are actually physically killing people or injecting or whatever. They're the ones that are the evil ones because they're doing it instead of just spouting off rhetoric.
Exactly. I mean, Hitler told people what to do.
Right. And they went along.
He didn't do it. Yeah, he didn't do it. And I'm sitting there and I was looking at a thing today. I get mad. I don't know why I get so mad. I should just go along and get old and just die. But, you know, and I'm thinking of all these doctors. The last time I went to the doctor, he said, well, Christine, you're anti-vax. I was like, anti-vax? What are you, crack? Are you smoking crack? You know, I'm not anti-vax. I don't want to die.
Right.
That's not anti-vax.
Right.
You know, and they're, how they can live with themselves is beyond me.
Right.
I can never live with myself. I couldn't do it.
Right.
Here, let's go get your baby a vaccine, and it won't help, but it might kill him. Oh, all right. That's okay. Just let's go. Come on, you'll be good.
You get a little sticker. A little sticker that I get back. A free donut or whatever it is.
Oh, no. Some regurgent polio and a sticker, you know. A piece of candy, you know. Oh, my God, help us, you know. Oh, but Christine and Tracy, you're so mean. Oh, no. But, I mean, I went to CVS and I tell this story, and we were walking up. Thank God I have a car now, and I'm schlepping my fat ass up there. And I said to my daughter, the sirens come by, the ambulance and the fire and the police. And she said, what's going on? I said, they're going to CVS. Somebody took the shot, and they went to CVS, and the guy was having a seizure on the floor.
Yeah,
he had gotten a shot. And my daughter runs away from me because, quite frankly, I embarrass her. And, you know, and I walked by. I had to get a prescription. And I heard them talking. The pharmacist was mortified. Her face was completely pale. Mm-hmm. And I heard the paramedic, he said, "Is this your first shot?" Picking the guy up off the ground.
Wow.
Yeah. And that just means the vaccine is working. No, right. It doesn't. It means you're dying.
Yeah.
Probably, you know.
Yeah.
But, and he said, "Oh, this is your first shot. Wait till you get your second one." And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, mortally insane. There's literally right. nothing that you could be that could make you more insane than you are now. And I don't get it.
I was going to say, nobody else had seizures on other shots, you know, polio, whatever. So I guess those shots weren't working.
Yeah. They don't work. They really don't work. I brought my dog in June. She has to have her rabies shot. I mean, that's a law.
Yeah.
And I'm literally shaking. And I'm like, I said to the people at the, I don't want to say where it was because, you know, right. it doesn't matter. So what can happen? What do I do if she has a reaction? And they both literally stopped what they were doing and stared at me.
Mm.
They didn't know what to say. So about a week, I think it was a week, maybe a week and a half later, I'll actually cry. This, my dog is the only thing I love. My children too, but, you know, they don't walk well with me. And and she started having, like, she kept regurgitating fluid, like she was vomiting up clear fluid.
Right.
And I knew what it was. I knew what it was. And I gave her Thuja, I think you call it.
Yeah, Thuja. Yep. That's what I gave.
Yeah. And carbon 60 to detox her.
Yeah.
And I say, thank you, God, in whatever form you're in, because mm-hmm. I think if I hadn't done that, I don't think she would have fared as well.
Right. That happened to Tessa the last time she got the rabies. I thought she was going to die. And then I, you know, researched and overnighted the Thuja and some other herbal cleanse tea or something. And then she was fine. But yeah. And then you can titer, you know, I think you knew about that, Dr. John Robb or something.
He
titering the pets to see if they still get their rabies. Whatever. It's still floating around. So that then they don't need to have a shot, but who knows how the laws are differently.
The laws
in different places.
Are bad. The laws are bad. And they're getting people involved. And I say to people who have pets, I say, you're killing your animal.
Yeah.
You're literally frolicking through the meadow of self. No, I don't want to swear. I'm not going to swear. You're pandering yourself and you're politically correct and you're trying to humble brag. Look at how many shots my animals have. And they're killing their animals.
Yep. Yeah,
and it's absolutely horrific because that I'm not saying that, you know, rabies is a very dangerous thing.
Yes,
but you know, other things, like I went to a homeopathic vet and he gave me homeopathic nosodes for like heartworm. He gave me ivermectin for heartworms, which was kind of ironic.
Yeah,
and it works, and it works well.
That's horse paste. It shouldn't work.
That you see how they use Trump with that. They made Trump promote it.
Yeah.
And then everybody went, oh, I remember some guy saying to me, I would never use ivermectin, F Trump. And I said, yeah, that'll serve him. That'll show him, you know, you can die and suffer a lot. And boy, he'll learn a lesson, you know. And it's like, holy moly. I don't know how we do this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting to the point where I'm like, that's your shit luck. It's not my shit luck anymore. I don't care what you do anymore. You go get it back to you.
Yep.
Don't ask me to feel sorry for you because I'm not going to. And I feel bad because I'm a nice lady.
Mm-hmm.
I really am.
I feel sorry for the kids, you know, the kids that can't really make an informed, well, nobody can make an informed consent because they haven't been given the paperwork to show what all has been shown as the side effects, but the kids especially, they just go along with, you know, what their parents want them to.
Oh my Lord. That's I can't even.
Yeah.
I literally can't even. There was I think it might have been you, it might have been somebody else, it might have been Amy, my friend Amy. and she's usually here in the chat. She played a, you know, a sound bite of a man calling up the pharmacy who had just given his 3-year-old, his 3-year-old, a shot. He said, my wife went in and against my wishes got the shot. The baby was in the hospital with a massive heart attack, Tracy.
Oh, yeah.
Massive heart attack. I can't fathom, not the pharmaceuticals, because they're greedy bastards, but people who go along with it are the ones that need to answer.
Right. They're very fear-based, and for something that's 99.7% survivable, but especially in kids, kids don't hardly ever get this. So, yeah.
And they're changing the laws. And I so far, I think I'm going to be able to go back and continue my college education. But they're talking about the social distancing. And this is a college.
Yeah.
And the masks. And, well, you don't have to get a shot. Now, when I looked the last time, you have to get a shot. And you've already been given the religious exemption in 2019, but you have to do it again, which is absolutely unconstitutional.
Right.
And so I looked again, and they said, no, we're not gonna force people to get the shots, but we really, really, really want you to.
Yeah. Like,
they're changing laws. They're literally trying to go against the Constitution and change laws because China took over. They sold us out to China. That's what they did. And I don't mean any offense to anyone from China. I just don't.
Right, yeah.
Because they're still jumping out windows because they're on lockdown, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, as an energy worker, how do you find the best way to approach people with that? Because I'm losing my abilities quick.
Right. You know, it's hard because, well, as you follow my Facebook posts, I certainly have been trying to wake people up, but at some point, you just have to detach, and I guess I just look at it as that we each have our own journey, and maybe they're not, because I do believe in reincarnation, so maybe it's not this lifetime that they've chosen to wake up more and more, and that they've chosen another way to maybe go fully into, say, an AI timeline where they're totally enslaved, because then they'll learn certain lessons that way. And who's to say, like I said, my healing is all based on reincarnation, but who's to say that, you know, the last go round before the other, you know, the previous, I don't know, wake up, maybe I was one of those going along with, you know, this whole robotic kind of life. So, I mean, as much as I want to just shake them and, you know, cuss like a sailor in their face, I do have to just step back and go, okay, this is what they're choosing. All I can do is just share stuff, share memes, and maybe it's planting a seed. If not, they'll eventually get there.
Yeah, and that's a very, 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 very good point. Because that's where a lot of us are, and I don't want to be hurtful. And I look at it, and I see these little kids going to get their shots, and I'm like, oh my Lord, maybe there's. I don't think I see the soul. I certainly don't see the full picture. And I'm living in this dimension, so I'm sort of trapped here. But I think there's a bigger picture, and that's how I've lately been getting through. Because it almost killed me. I have severe PTSD, and it was a really interesting 2 years. But, you know, there's a reason for everything, and that's so amazing that you have grasped that. That's very hard to grasp. It really is. Do you practice, if I can ask, do you practice Reiki? Or I know that the group that we're in together, we do a lot of that. And I have to go to that person you're going to, too. I just have to get the money to do so. But that does help. Do you find Reiki, or just what practice do you embrace more to help you get through things, to have that perspective?
I don't really subscribe to one thing. Like when I lived in New York with my son, we got attuned. My massage therapist was also a Reiki master. So we did get attuned to Reiki level 2, and then we left the area. I like Qigong more, because to me it's more energy flowing instead of the chakra system. I don't subscribe to that, just because I think some souls, and in working with, I think you were mentioning, the person you were talking about, I'm sure she doesn't mind me mentioning her first name, Eva, right. That, you know, some souls don't have chakras. And mine is not. I don't have one. I've always identified as just a column of energy. And so Reiki doesn't, I don't kind of gel with it that much. I more gel with the Qigong. But I don't know. I just kind of meditate, but yet not. It's hard for me to meditate because my mind is always active. But I do try to quiet the mind, and I go out in nature a lot, which is hard in Minnesota in the wintertime, but and try and go barefoot, but definitely not in wintertime. But I find I get really recharged with nature, with the group that we're in. I also, she's included with two other people. We have a more of like a message group on Facebook that we work on certain common themes that have come up with us. So we kind of interact like that, and it's so important to, I think what helps to recharge is to talk with like-minded people. And, you know, the internet and technology is kind of being used for ill, but yet we can turn it around and use it for good, because now we are finding our soul tribes, you know, like you and Eva and others, that it's nice to be able to, if we're feeling like, oh my gosh, the world's gone batshit crazy, we can laugh about it, we can commiserate, we can encourage one another, and that I think is what helps me get through.
I agree with that, because years ago I was lived in a basement for quite some time in my childhood home. They couldn't cut me out. And if I had had this then, it would have been much easier. And I think for a lot of people, it's a godsend. It really is. I mean, there's good and evil in everything.
Right. Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. She's an amazing girl, Eva. She really is. Yeah. I wanted her to come on the show. But, you know, I ask people, I don't want to be pushy.
Right.
And then I'm like, she would be really great on the show. And I like her a lot, because that's the way we need to do it. Mm-hmm. And everybody has a story, and everybody's story has a ripple effect on everyone else, you know. Mm-hmm. And someone will listen to you, and you'll be the voice that they need to hear to go on.
Right. Yeah, because there's, like I was saying about the, you know, Reiki, it's not every... not one thing is going to work for everyone, or, you know, your old standbys may not work for a while. I went through kind of a dark night of the soul the past, I don't know, 3-4 months, and all my old standbys just didn't work. And then Tessa, my beloved dog, died. So, you know, I couldn't even feel like I was connected to her. I couldn't even... this could be another show. I couldn't even connect to my twin soul, and nothing worked. It was just, you know, you just plod along, and I just kept doing the things, and like Eva helped too. You know, you just keep showing up and doing the things, even if you don't feel they're working. Eventually the clouds will clear and it will start working again. But sometimes, because my system is sensitive, so, and I was doing so much, and so sometimes you do need to have a dark night of the soul where you're burned out and you just rest and you don't feel anything, because you're kind of rebalancing, and then finally it kicked out and I was able to get through it. But there's no one thing that works for everybody, really.
It's true. And I will literally go to a Bible study, pray to Jesus. I love Jesus. I'm not ashamed. I don't try to force him on anybody.
Right.
And then I will do Reiki, or I will light a candle and use oils. And yeah. I don't see the, you know, some people can't do that, and that's fine. But I don't see the bad in it. I think it's right. great. You know, if we can connect to God, it's a way of I don't know what to say. Maybe vent our anger, vent to try to justify things. I've come the last few months to know that God is in control. And that's not easy to get to that level. And you say, okay, if somebody's worshiping the devil, I don't like it, but God's in control. They're not in control. Abusers are not in control. God is in control. And that's a very hard thing. You know, are you the universe, however we...
Yeah, yeah.
It's like people will say, well, the Shriners or whoever they go after, not the Shriners, I can't think who they are.
Masons, they usually go after Masons. Yep, yep.
And I'm like, wait a minute, the Masons are not evil. Maybe some Masons practice evil, but they're not, because of themselves, they're not evil.
Right.
And you see it, and you're like, oh. That's what I was like for 20 years, you know?
Right.
And it gets hard to get to that place.
Yeah.
It really does. And that's why I think your story is, your wisdom is amazing, because it's one thing to get through life when it's just life, but then to get through life when you're being abused, that's like a double, that's a double crown, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And well, that's where my belief in reincarnation comes from, because you've learned certain tools and accrued a certain amount of strength, maybe, from past lives, going through rough stuff, that maybe it helps you get through it again. So that kind of what has helped me, and it helps me to have forgiven too, because it was Colin Tipping. He wrote a book called Radical Forgiveness, and his premise was, you know, even if you didn't believe in reincarnation, just think that maybe it's a little possibility, and then if you think of that, then you think, okay, so you're a soul and you've come here to learn certain lessons. So in order to do that, you choose your parents. And before you were born, or your abuser, whoever. And before you were born, you made a contract with them, and they were agreeing to be like, yeah, we're going to be shit parents, you know? And so if they all of a sudden you're born and they, you know, become loving parents for some reason, then they are not upholding their end of the bargain. And so then you're going to have to learn the lessons in other ways. And so when you think of it like, okay, I chose my parents, I chose these people to be in my life, whoever they are, to learn certain lessons, then in that sense, I'm not trying to make light of being a victim, but in that sense, you can kind of turn it around and say, okay, I'm not a victim. I do have power, and I'm learning these lessons, even though they're terrible and they shouldn't have happened to me at all. But I'm learning these lessons so that maybe I can learn how to forgive. Maybe I can learn, you know, how to be strong and independent, maybe more compassionate, or whatever it is we chose. And so that kind of turns it around so that then you have more power. And I don't know, to me, it just helped me heal more, that, okay, it gave me more power in that, okay, if I do have power, then I have power to heal and to forgive. And so that's what kind of started it for me, the healing journey.
Yeah. Yeah. And when my mother was dying in 2015, and I saw her from a different perspective, because I had gone through the abusive relationship, I was also abusive to him, and it was terrible, and it was a result of both of our childhoods. And I sat there and I watched her, and I realized at that time that she had been abused. And people do things, and then when you read about MK Ultra, you read about satanic ritual abuse. These people who are evil, they practice dark psychology, they also practice dark medicine. they're altering our DNA. They're getting into our genetics. They're getting into our neurotransmitters. They're making people do violent things. They're making people do things not based on sin or greed or evil, if you will. We're not losing our souls. We're losing our minds in this country. And they're leading the cause of that. When we can look at our parents or our husbands or our exes as abused little children,
right,
it's so much easier to go that next step. It's not nice because, man, I'll shake my fist at God and I don't care. I'll shake it. I'll say, you could, that's okay. You can take it. You better show me this because I'm sick of it down here. I really am. No, it's time. I'm tired. You got to smoke some of these people for me, you know. And he doesn't smoke people, by the way. You know, and to go endlessly through the churches and, oh, the gay people are the conduit to evil and the witches are and the pagans and the this. No, every person's a creation of God, and that was the trick.
Right.
That was the trick. As much as we don't want to see it, we have to see it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that, well, like when you saw, you humanized your mother, and that's, my had a really verbally abusive critical grandma, but then I looked at her life, and when she was one of three sisters, and her mother, when she found out she was pregnant with my grandmother, jumped out of a barn window trying to kill her, abort her. And it's like, why on earth would my grandmother have been told that? You know, you don't tell
a
yeah. Yeah, you don't tell a child that, but she had a very picky, critical grandmother, too. So that grandmother probably told her. And then she was born in 1909, which during that time, if you were left-handed, you were of Satan.
I was, too, when I was born in the 60s.
Yeah, and so they tied her hand behind her back in school. So she was humiliated from that and then humiliated by, oh, you know, your mom tried to kill you. So, you know, you can see how, and then she went on to marry a very passive man. And then my grandma was kind of OCD, and her firstborn was stillborn. It was something to do with the RH factor. And then she had a son. And then 5 years later, my mother, who was in the hospital for a long time as a newborn, because she had transfusions and everything, is the RH factor or something. So she then became a smother mother and very hypercritical, hypervigilant. And it was just out of fear, you know. And then so then you can look at that and see that, yeah, she was a scared, wounded little child. And she just she didn't know how to deal with it. So then she had to be hypercritical and verbally abusive.
Yeah. But she could find, you can see the root of that, why right. she didn't become that way. Yeah. And that's the gift.
Yeah.
My mother used to do workings, literally would do workings. She would say to me, oh, so-and-so did that, I'll fix them, you know, F-I-X, with a working a curse. And she would do it. And it used to scare the shit out of me.
Yeah.
And I would see these things with the bottles and jars and, oh, my God. But then I realized it was the psychological issues and the emotional issues that caused her to do what she was doing.
Yeah.
It was like she was trying to protect us in a certain way by doing, I mean, that you raise, evil comes around when you do that sort of thing.
Right, yeah.
No. and it's interesting the dynamics between that, if that's the right word, and some people within the churches, I'm sorry, I don't want to bash the churches, that will say, let's pray for Biden to have a heart attack and die, or let's pray for, you know, it's the same thing, it's just kind of a different frame around it, you know?
Right. Yeah, you're hexing somebody. Yeah.
Yeah, my mother couldn't have gone to church and said 5 rosaries a day, and she would have put a worse hex on me than the jars.
Right, yeah.
Interesting distinction.
And a lot of little, like, it's not just churches. It's there was somebody on Twitter that I kind of went back and forth with. She's supposedly a light worker. And it was something along the lines of she wanted 1,000 times more karma to rain down upon, you know, the global elite and all that. And I just said, you know, you shouldn't want to just say karma. You shouldn't want to wish them
you know, more, because then that'll come back and bite you. And she's like, I don't care. And I was like, okay, whatever. So, yeah. So even the light workers, so-called light workers and churches, yeah, they're all doing their hexing, but they cloak it in love and light.
Have I muted? I think I muted.
Oh, yep.
Something happens when it goes. I don't know why it does that. This happens every show, and it just mutes it, and I'm sitting here. I'm not doing anything. Sorry. No, it was me.
Are you there?
Oh, my God. It keeps doing it. I don't know why it does that, but I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Where I don't know where we left off at.
I was saying that an example of it is that people say, oh, well, Trump was a big fat meanie, and he's being mean by locking the border, and we have a real problem with that in this country. And look at what happened. Because people were voting and making decisions and supporting people based on their feelings right. instead of the truth. Children are being terribly abused.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I muted it. And people will just say, no, that's not true. Trump was a big fat meanie, and we didn't want him to lock the border because that was mean. But the ultimate of that action is that more children are being tortured.
Yeah.
And that's a karmic thing. Do you agree that that's a karmic thing?
Yeah, definitely.
And it's not against him or for him, and it's certainly not against Sippy Cup, because he's a great guy. And, there's reasons I can't stand him, but there's something to be said for justice, and I think this world is kind of floundering around with misunderstanding what justice is.
Right. Yes. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So, well, that you know, then justice goes out the window.
It's like people, and this is a very sore subject. People say, oh, you're so mean, Christine, and the poor transgenders, and they just want to be a man when they're a woman, and a woman when they're a man. Okay, but we can't cheer on people mutilating their children's body.
Right, right.
Based on feelings.
Right.
Now, those are real ramifications. They've got gaping, feces-infested holes in their butts.
Right.
And in their fronts. And we've gone off the beaten path. We've gone off the beaten path.
We shouldn't do anything to children. And a lot of these parents, you can see a lot of these parents, they have a big gaping hole inside their soul and they want acceptance. So they're going to use their children as a way to get some amount of, you know, street cred or love and light from people. And it's like, let the children alone and let them, if they want to, when they're 18, they can decide then, you know, don't mess with kids.
It's just awful. And I think, sorry about that. Somebody in chat said, ew. I'm assuming it's because of the way I put that. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes me angry because I'm triggered. And I remember being trafficked as a kid, and it's a terrible thing. It really is. There's something that happens to a child's mind that, and I just pray to everybody, I don't care, no, that's not true, but to every good spirit in the world that I can go and help children, because children need to be helped. Transgender, I don't care what people are. But this whole, let's use them until we get richer or we get more popular, it's got to stop, you know?
Right, yeah.
And it's nice to talk to you because people are commenting in chat that they like you and they like your perspective. So see, I told you. I mean, I guess you're your own show. I mean, you can always come back.
Yeah.
I'm, cool. Quite frankly, I'm sick of listening to myself talk. I think people are hearing now. We're getting ready for the break. It's 4:55. We got the one break. And I want to ask you a blunt question, and it's not a judgment. when you don't vote, do you feel like you, I don't know how to put this, because I'm thinking of not voting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not conservative, although I kind of like the conservative viewpoint on some issues, but I like the Democrat viewpoint on many issues.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make you feel like you're not doing your part? And I'm going to start singing the Star Spangled Banner in a second.
Well, that meme of voting for the lesser of the two evils, you're still voting for evil. So yeah. I don't want to take part in a rigged game. I might on local level, because I've heard, and it's true, the most important person you can vote for is your local sheriff, because they're the ones that will, you know, decide which laws are going to be enacted. And so I might vote locally here, but, you know, once you start to get to the state level, going to your capital, and certainly national politics, it's a corrupt system. And
extreme.
And yeah, and even if somebody was like 100% pure that went to Washington, or
they're
even
not anymore,
state capital, that system is going to chew them up and spit them out into what they want as a puppet. So I, you know, I'm very much Larkin Rose is great to follow. And plus, if enough people don't vote, then the controllers will realize that, oh, this.
We're going to continue after this break.
Okay.
Here on the Christine Gorda Show on Revolution Radio. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio, Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crip Rick's Ivan, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Oh my God, I got it.
still out there?
They're going back in.
Still men out there.
God damn.
When I go home, people ask me, "Hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie?" I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio. FreedomSlips.com. Number one listener-supported radio. The printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And we are back. I'm sorry about that. I missed the break. I'm sorry. I had to go out, get my dog to do something, and I missed the break. I'm sorry. I mean, I didn't get back in time. We are back, the Christine Korda Show, here on Revolution Radio. It is 5:03, and I'm your host, Christine Korda, and I'm chatting with my friend Tracy. We're having a very good discussion, and you were saying before the break that you won't vote. And that was a very good point, that there's two parties. Basically, one's the lesser evil. Go ahead, so you can continue.
I'd say basically one party, probably everywhere, but they have, you know, two or more different faces, all controlled opposition. So I tend to be a voluntarist, which means, you know, being sovereign in your own self and only engaging in voluntary interactions. So therefore you can't, you know, steal or hurt someone because they're not going to volunteer to be stolen from or harmed. And also I think, I mean, yeah, it's a utopian ideal, but I think if more and more people start to embrace that we are self-sovereign, nobody can really represent us because we see how they represent us. We don't have the money really for them to represent us. It's the elite, the parasitic class that has the full representation. So I think, you know, because then people will go, well, if you don't vote, then you know, what's going to happen? Well, I just see both parties as pretty much the same, or really all parties across the world. They are beholden to the moneyed class. And I think here in the U.S., if enough people don't vote, then the parasitic class, they'll probably cover it up, you know, and pad the numbers and say, oh, yes, there's a good turnout. But if enough of us see that we go by the polling places and see that hardly anybody's there, the parasitic class actually will start to go, oh, hey, you know, maybe they're on to us. And so the house of cards just might collapse as more and more people start believing in themselves and start believing in involuntary interactions. I mean, when you go to your neighbor and they have like tomatoes and you say, hey, I grew potatoes. You want to make a trade. That's voluntarism, where, of course, the state wants to get involved with certified, and you charge state tax and all that.
They're already doing it in Canada.
Huh?
They're not letting people have farm stands. And I believe it's in Canada, but I think it's starting in America here.
Wow.
Yeah, that's going to get really bad.
Yeah. Well, the more that they try to control, the more that people are waking up.
I hope you're right. I have two children. I know you have a son. I have two children, and I worry a lot.
Right. Yeah. Well, at least they've got a strong mom.
Well, we're not going to be around forever.
Right. You know? Yep.
And it's really very disturbing to me to see this go on. That little baby, he wasn't a baby, but to me he was a baby. He was like 12 or 11 or something, and he did whatever stupid thing he did from Kit Kat or whatever the social media thing is, and he got knocked out or he choked himself, and then he died.
Oh, wow.
And then he didn't just die. The hospital said, you can't bring him anywhere to any doctor who said they would love to try to help him. They might be able to save his life. The doctors came in and said, you can't do this. This is your child, but you can't do it. And this is your child, and you can't take him to hospice. He has to die in the hospital.
Hmm.
And they got away with it.
Yeah.
And I have to say this, and people can get mad at me, and I don't give a shit. If he was a puppy or a kitty, it wouldn't have happened like that.
Right.
And that's not to say that we shouldn't care about animals, because we should. I adore animals. I love all animals. I even like fish. I don't touch them, but I like them. And if you pack muted herself, that's something I would do. But we can't put one species over another.
Right.
And if they practice dark psychology on us, we don't have to let them.
Right. Yeah.
And I think you're right about that. Because people say, you know, there was something for 2 years I would have these dreams and I saw America burning. And I saw the masks on people. Scared the crap out of me.
Right.
And I would go on the shows and I would say, here's my dream. And here's the thing I see. And here's what I see. And I kept telling people, pray for Florida. Pray for Florida. Something's going to happen in Florida. I'm not giving detail. I'm not going to go down like that. You know? Right. And people don't listen.
Yeah.
People don't listen. So what do we do as lightworkers? What do we do? What do we do?
Yeah, this is a good question.
I don't even know how to ask anymore.
Right. Well, like I said, you know, everybody's on their own journey, but all we can do, I think, you know what? What we can do and we have full control over is we work on ourselves. We work on shining the light on the parts of us that need healing and trying to start, you know, kind of expanding our energy out of healing and love. And it may seem slow, but it does have a ripple effect. And then, you know, like I said, working with like-minded people that, okay, like the little group I belong to, we may, you know, concentrate on, I think we originally concentrated on Salem witch trials. And then we did the forest. And so you know, if you're called to a specific spot on the earth or a specific group of people, then you just try to visualize healing going that way. But in order to really be effective as a healer, you have to really work on yourself and being anchored in and accepting yourself. I mean, it's hard to do self-love, but at least you can accept yourself. And then it just grows and ripples out. It may seem like it takes forever, but you know that, what is that, the 100th monkey effect? You know, it just takes a little bit, and then we may have the momentum that then all of a sudden, boom, then it becomes this avalanche, and then people start really waking up more. At least that's my hope.
I hope that too. I really do. And I do care about animals. I don't want people to send me emails or death threats, but, right. You know, I do. I adore animals, and I would like to, like, take a machete to people who abuse them. But
yeah.
Children should be careful too, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That was just unbelievable to me. How did you, I'm going to go here. How did you find it to forgive yourself because most of us who have been through abusive relationships have such a self-anger. Did that come into your path to have to challenge that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the hardest person to forgive is yourself, really.
Yep.
Because then you went a lot. Well, when you're a child, you can't help it. But then, you know, when you become an adult and maybe you got into an abusive marriage, you did say, you know, you did agree to it, you know, by staying with the person.
I didn't mean to laugh. I'm sorry. That just struck me funny. I'm sorry.
What?
It made me laugh. I didn't mean to laugh. It just struck me funny. I'm sorry.
Well, it was. I think it was Byron Katie said something like, you know, the first time a person abuses you, that's on them. But the second time, that's on you because you're sticking around for it. And I know there's a bunch of dynamics that go into it, you know, the self-loathing. So you think this is the only one who will love you, or there's financial difficulties or family pressures into being with someone. But, you know, ultimately it is your responsibility. And so I try very hard not to be a hypocrite. So if I'm willing to forgive someone for doing something horrible to me, then why shouldn't I forgive myself? And also forgive myself because I was doing the best at that time. Like my mother, the picture that she painted for me of my father, who, you know, skipped out of my life when I was like 2 years old, she painted him as a paranoid schizophrenic. So guess who I married? I married a man who was a paranoid schizophrenic. So I did that because it was imprinted on me, and I wanted to work out the family dynamics and trying to fix it. right. And so I finally had to forgive myself because it was like, well, that was the inner child, and I made some bad decisions, and children, you know, they make bad decisions sometimes. Mm-hmm. We all do. And it's okay. And it is hard to forgive yourself because sometimes I'm clumsy and you know, I'll spill something and then I start excoriating myself. And then it was like Eckhart Tolle, I think, said something like, you have to start noticing your patterns. And so at first you'll notice, okay, that was kind of really harsh thing to do of, you know, really expecting perfectionism, and people spill things all the time. So you notice the bad habit, the bad pattern. And then you, after a while, you start noticing it just after it happens. And then you start noticing it during it happens. And then before, but then you still do it anyway. But then you start going, okay, I don't need to react this way. It can be a long process. I mean, it took me years, but then after a while, I don't react in the same way, and I let myself off the hook. Because if I've let others off the hook, why shouldn't I let myself off the hook?
Gold. It's absolute gold. It's true. And Pack Women in chat says, anger attacks the inside of your soul and can destroy the real loving you and all around you. And that's very true.
Yes.
It's very true.
And I've seen, and it's good too. Anger is basically sadness too. And I think that can be true too, because you're sad at what happened, and then you turn around and get angry about it too. Like certainly what we're seeing today with what's happening to kids, we get sad for them, but then we do get angry. And there's nothing wrong with being sad or angry. It's just we shouldn't dwell there. But there is such a thing called righteous anger, and, you know, protecting people that need protect, but who can't protect themselves.
Yeah, that's true. That is beyond my comprehension. Beyond, I tell my daughter, I try to tell her, I say, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I can someday say, yep, I needed a pill and they weren't really doing this, because I cannot comprehend them doing this. I can't comprehend it. I don't care where the Heil Hitler guy comes from. He looks like he wants to be in Star Trek forever, and he's high, and we gotta have him our vaccines and eat the bugs. And I mean, how many demons did you bend over for? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
seriously, he's got to be at least on 10, and I don't understand it. Ooj, UJJ in chat says, karmic connections do leave deep imprints. And I do, I actually am attuned to karmic Reiki, and they're right, which is right. Yeah. Leaves very deep imprints.
Yeah, they do. And then past life stuff, yeah, definitely.
That's interesting. Let me ask, do you do readings for people? If not, you should. Because I think if somebody were to say to you, you're suffering from in this life is because you're battling evil here in this incarnation because the church tried to give you an exorcism in 400 years ago. Do you buy that?
Yeah, in working with like my little soul group, one of them had just all of a sudden said, "Oh, you had a past life with somebody who wasn't a husband who wasn't really abusive, but who was very austere, and so you know that you can feel that residual because of that. I was attracted to kind of really Christian fundamentalism for a while because of I think that past life." And also, and it's kind of weird, but my mother, I took a long time to forgive her, and for the longest time I refused to have any contact with her, but recently then we reconnected, and she, I won't get into the politics of it, but we were discussing something and then she said, "Oh, you're on the side of blah, blah." And it's like, no, I'm on the side of truth. And at that moment I saw a flashback of a past life where, I was burning at the stake as a witch and she was my accuser and she was just gloating at my burning to death. And she was my mother in that too. So then I had to forgive that. So I think you can very, very definitely have stuff that happens in this life very definitely affect you. I mean, from past lives, very definitely affect you now. And I don't, at this time, you know, I'm working with Eva because she realized that I'm a seer and I get visions. Mm-hmm. And so I do want to eventually work with people and help them, but now I'm having to first balance myself because I have FND, it's functional neurological disorder, and some of it can be from trauma because your brain is rewritten, and mm-hmm. So trauma in the childhood. So basically, my main complaint after working with Eva. You know, a lot of the other complaints have gone away and I don't have seizures anymore, except when I have some visions, but I just have to relax. And the main thing that I have to deal with now is extreme pain. So we're working on that. So, but then there's the whole thing of a wounded healer, you know? So I don't know. I think I will start to venture into, because I do, like you feel called to help children. Feel called to help heal people, places, and so yeah, I'll eventually start doing that. I want to, and I think that's you know what, speaking here is healing too. You know, when you share your story, it might somebody might you know resonate and start working on certain other modalities.
Yeah. I think we reach more people than we think.
Yeah.
And especially wound healers.
Right. And it ripples out, you know, because then if you say something, that'll start clicking in their mind and then they will start healing. Like that Ho'oponopono is really good. And
I'm attuned to that. It really is.
Yes. Yes. That's awesome. And that helps. And then when you do that, it not only affects you, but the person you're doing it for, but then it just kind of ripples out because your energy is a little more cleared and a little more peaceful. And so, like I said, with it, when we were talking before about just kind of rippling out our energy and working on ourselves, because I think working on ourselves helps others. You know, that adage, yes, you know, when does, you're yes. in an airplane and the masks come down, well, you got to put the mask on yourself before that you Sorry. Put it on your child. But yeah, now we talk about masks.
Scream bloody murder and throw them out of the way.
Huh?
Sorry, that's not funny. Or is it you can scream bloody murder and throw them out of the way?
Yeah.
Here, let me help you, and I'll suck the air in.
Yeah.
That'll help. I'm sorry, that's not really funny. I'm sorry, but it's kind of funny. It's true, though. That's a very good point. It's a very good point. We think that we want to be super mom, super dad, super healer, super light worker, and it's like, but wait, it's a projection. I've got these gifts. Let me go. Tell everybody, I'm guilty, got to say it. Tell everybody else what they got to do to fix it. Because by that, I don't have to look at myself.
I did
one prayer for my mother. It was sadly after she died. And I said, I'm sorry I didn't love you the right way. I'm sorry that I didn't forgive you. I'm sorry that I didn't pray more. You know? And I think that was the best thing that I could have said, because I recognized that she had been abused. My father, I was led by a Native American Indian. Am I allowed to say Indian? And he led me, this Indian I had met when I was like 5, and up in Syracuse, and he led me through like a dream state to give a big, like a Pandora's box or heavy chest to my father at the graveyard. Just told me, he said, in order for you to move forward, you have to give it up. You have to give this back to where it belongs. And I did. And those were two things that happened to me. But to be honest with you, what you're saying resonates so well. I'm sorry to talk so much. I don't want to take over your time.
Yeah.
It resonates with me because all the years of trying to like be a martyr and a saint didn't work. Mm-hmm. I had to forgive myself. I wasn't angry at them. I was angry at me. That's a good point that you make.
And then angry at ourselves for taking on their baggage, but yet I think it's Bruce Lipton who talks about, well, he's big on epigenetics and how we can overcome, but he said something like the human brain up until the age of 7 or 8, it's like a blank slate or a blank computer disk, that everything that happens is imprinted upon it. So how we're treated, how people react, how they, you know, cope with things, we're just like a sponge, and we're soaking that all up so that we learn bad ways of coping, bad self-esteem. But the great thing about that is that when we become conscious of it, then we can rewrite how we respond. It takes a very big effort because, you know, we've had decades of responding or reacting or thinking about ourselves in a certain way, but it can be done. It really can, because the brain is just so neuroplastic, and we can change it. We can think differently and better about ourselves and others and forgive.
That's true. And Flippy in chat writes, some peeps are really horrible, but their punishment for being so horrible is simply being the horrible people they are. One can take a certain delight in this if one wants to, but it really is horrible what they do to themselves, to their own being. This is why Yeshua told us to pray for our enemies. That's really
right.
A very good point.
Right, because their soul is so fractured. And they know it on some level. Yeah.
And if you read the Bible and you read what Jesus wrote, he wasn't so much Catholic as he was New Age. I'm sorry. God, I'm going to get emails. But the way that he spoke, it makes a lot of sense to say, forgive one another as I have forgiven you. Do good to one another as I have loved you. And things like that that are very deep, much deeper than just what they do in churches or what they do in organized anything. I'm not just going after the churches, but any organized thing.
Right. Yeah.
All the projections are just bomb.
Yeah.
My psychology professor told me the last class that I went, one of the last semesters I went, she said, people who are abused as children, trauma survivors, really do have a disconnect from their body and mind. Mm-hmm. They're not connected to those feelings. And that's why a lot of people, that's why I eat and I'm fat, because I don't have the connection. I can't make the connection. A lot of people who are transgender are probably transgender, but a lot more are people who can't make that connection.
Right.
And so they want to have something else, and it's really interesting. It's such an interesting point that you guys bring up. It really is.
Right. Yeah.
That was a good point by Flippy, though. I like it. Yeah. Copy that and save that in my notes.
Yeah.
So when you go to pray, I'm sorry, for that lady on Twitter, go ahead, finish, and then I'll ask.
Oh, I was just going to say, and if you believe in reincarnation, boy, they got a lot of lifetimes to work through all that. <they've done. laughs>
A few more visits to go.
Yeah.
But I was thinking of that lady you were talking about on Twitter, I forgot what I was going to say. What do you think we should pray for Klaus Schwab or Biden? Because it's very hard for me to pray for those kind of people. Do you think we should ask the universe to send it back to them, their karmic uptake or whatever? Or do you think that we should pray for forgiveness? It's an interesting question to me.
Yeah, I don't pray for karma for them because I know it'll come back around anyway. But I don't pray for them, actually. Maybe I should. But I'm busy praying for my loved ones and for humanity to wake up. You know, I don't, it may sound terrible, but I really don't want to waste my energy on them.
Doesn't sound terrible at all.
And then since I pray for humanity, well, they're maybe human, so I'm praying for them too, you know.
Maybe at least partially.
Yeah.
We'd have to pull down their pants and see if there's just a flat thing there. Sorry, that was a terrible thing to say. I've seen some of these people, and you can look in their eyes, and I have a tendency to be able to tell, and some of these people are not human. It's like that little robot that chases me around Stop and Shop.
Well, some you just see they don't have a soul. And then I think it's Dolores Cannon calls them backdrop people, but there's a theory that, you know, the masses, that a lot of them are kind of soulless people, like NPC players. And I remember one time I worked with the public and I had to wait on somebody. But I could see out of the corner of my eye, she was looking at the board. This was in a deli. She was looking at the board. And so I walked up to her. And she was just like glazed over. And I finally had to say, you know, may I help you? And then it was weird. Then her eyes like came online and she started to animate and, oh, yes. And it was just like, it was the most surreal thing I've ever experienced. And then that I was telling somebody and then they told me it was like the backdrop players, like there's. You really wonder if there's really 8 billion people on Earth. Maybe some of them are just these NPC players that, you know, go along with the crowd. And so then it makes us seem like we're outnumbered.
Actually, that's an extremely good point. I had dreams where I saw people coming from under the Earth. They were in the Earth, but they came up and they came up onto the Earth. Really bothered me a lot. I think that there's dark aliens are really coming around.
Mm, yeah. Well, we've got good angels, good energies around us. So, I mean, I'm not looking for an outward savior, but I think good always wins in the end. There has to be a balance. So,
I think that evil kills itself.
Yeah.
And I just pray and I say, God, you love them. You made them. Please do what's best. I've been really trying to just say your will be done because I'm at a loss at this point.
Yeah.
And then Oj says, pray for protection from them, and that's a very good point.
Right. Yes, yes. You always have to do that. yeah, I had recently, like 2-3 weeks ago, I just told the divine creator, I was just like, well, you know, use me, you know, let me, you know, flow your energy through, you know, and I didn't put any protection on it. I didn't put parameters that just said, you know, don't let it harm my body. And so then, like it was 2 weeks ago, Sunday, I had only experienced it one other time, and I thought it was FND. FND causes you to have really weird sensations. But this, it was, you know how you have a painful burp? You know, it feels like you're burping up a jagged piece of rock. Yeah. And so that originated from, like, the middle of my body, and it just radiated throughout all my trunk and up to my brain. And that went on for like 40 minutes, and it was constant, and you could feel the waves come up. So luckily I was working with Eva a couple of nights later. And then that's when she's like, well, you need to put parameters on, because it wasn't a malevolent force, because I am protected, but it was a neutral force, and it just needed to find a way out and up. And it's connected to things that are happening now on Earth. And then it also triggered a past life regression or memory with someone that I have in my soul group here. And so it was great that it happens, because it was a lesson for me to put parameters on, you know, if energy wants to come out, if it's loving and light, that's fine, but it can't harm my body. And then, you know, it was nice to be able to remember this past life and clear and send healing to that. But yeah, you got to be protected, and you have to put parameters on it.
Have to be specific.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we've got some really nice chatters in today. And Oj says that double confirmation, I didn't know what they meant, that what we were talking about confirmed from both of us something that they were working on. So that's really good to hear.
Good. Yeah, it's always nice to have confirmation. Because I think I see these visions and I think, wow, I'm really insane.
Yeah, I know.
Or somebody else, or Eva, or somebody will post something that I had just had a vision of the day before. It's like, oh, okay, thank you.
There's usually some type of confirmation.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's from 2017 to probably like 18 or 19, I was like, stop. You need to stop this, and I'm sorry. And then I saw the alien at the bottom of my stairs, which nobody even cares, you know? And if you could call MUFON, and they don't care. And, oh, yeah, there was definitely one at the bottom of my stairs. And to this day, I'm like, maybe it was in my mind. It wasn't in my mind. It wasn't there for me, but it was there.
Right.
It really had a huge impact on me, because it was there. It was behind the scenes, and I had to go to the bathroom. And I stood there, and I said, you got to be fucking kidding me. Sorry, that's literally what I said. Excuse my language. Then I thought, how am I going to protect my kids? Why aren't the dogs barking? All these weird things that came through my mind. But then I realized, Tracy and everyone listening, we're not alone. And there are things around that are interfering, but they're also interfering in a good way.
Right. Yeah.
And those visions, what I'm trying to say in my eloquent manner is that you're not alone.
Right.
You know? And some other of us have really wicked visions. I'd love to talk to you someday about them.
Oh, yeah. That'd be interesting.
Because sometimes mine come in like 3D, or 4D, actually 5D.
Wow.
It's always. But. Yeah, they're very true. I think that God is working with a lot of people, a lot of people, to give warnings and to give so people will take heed.
Right. Yeah. And the parasitic class knows that. And that's why they're just throwing so much now. You know, the crashing the economies worldwide, war here, war there, blah, blah, blah. Let's get vaccines and masks, more masks and digital IDs. And that's why they're just throwing everything at the wall that they can, because they're panicking.
They are really panicking. I noticed that, too. That Nazi William Shatner guy, he was talking the way that he was talking. Immediately I heard his voice, get the vaccines. And I felt the fear. There was no power there. There was no threat. It was fear. Right. Complete fear. And I was like, I literally breathed a sigh of relief. And I was like, thank you, God, for my gift of discernment.
Right.
You know?
And they're trolling us, too.
I know.
I mean, like the Zelensky with this Vogue photo shoot. And yet it's like, oh, my gosh, I'm in fear for my life. But all these actors and Bono and everybody's going over in this supposedly dangerous war zone. And it's like it's not that dangerous and they can pose for Vogue. So they're literally trolling people.
I know.
And just to see how stupid people are and you're still not awake yet. And so now I can look at that and laugh, you know, it's
people
like, oh my
so
God.
Stupid.
Yep.
My goodness. I mean, I'm so sorry because I really do like people, but just the hell wake up, you know?
Right.
I mean, his poor wife in that picture. Her eyes were like, please help me, please help me, please help me.
Right.
And it's like, Melania Trump, same thing. And everybody's like, oh, look, she's a wonderful friend. She's terrified.
Yeah, she is.
She's not a wonderful anything. She's freaking scared.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear it.
Yeah.
It's just awful. God have mercy on us. I'm sorry. I think she's a beautiful woman, but man.
Yeah. But, you know, she chooses to go along with it, so. Yeah.
I don't get that at all. I don't get it. I do, but I don't. And I say to people, you know, I went through cult and satanic ritual abuse and MK. Why did I get out? What do I have that other people, I don't get. You know, you went through domestic abuse and other abuse. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well,
my block.
Right, yeah. A friend of mine once said that to me. It's like, how are you the way you are now? You know, still, I'm still a very positive person. And then that's when she said, well, you know, that's why it's like a reincarnation thing, because you still have strengths from your past lives. And there's just something in you that just wants to heal.
That's interesting. That's an interesting take on it. That really is. It's interesting when you pray, like I'll pray, and for years I was praying, you know, please God help me, please God help me. Then I was praying, please God forgive me, please God forgive me. And lately it's been like, and a lot of other people have said it to me, we're saying, what can we do?
Yeah.
You show us what we can do. This is our world, and you have to empower us now, because it's taking it from outside of us and putting it inside, if that makes sense.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and we do have the power. You know,
we
let it flow through. And like, I believe our souls always want to heal, just like our bodies want to heal, if we just get out of it their way, you know, and stop, like with our bodies, if we just get out of the way of eating the GMO foods, then it can reset. And same with our soul, if we just get, you know, try and work on getting these little blocks out of us and these hurts and try and forgive and all these wounds, you know, trying to work on them so that we can clear them. Then we can get out of the way so that then we can become more of a vessel to help the divine to come through and, you know, we can live in love and harmony. I know that sounds a little la-la, but it's not, the world's not supposed to be this way, and I think we all know that on some level. It's not.
Yeah. I think also it's like, gee, let's just go back to normal. I'm so sick of wearing masks. I'm so sick of standing away from people. I'm tired of people dying. I'm tired of hearing about people being suffering. I don't want to hear about a 7-year-old who has a massive heart attack in the middle of the night. I can't deal with it. And I think that's why we kind of, I can't stop. I cannot stop talking about it. I can't. I'm sorry to all my listeners. I've lost so many, but I have to keep talking about it. I have to make sure somebody hears it.
Yeah.
That they listen, you know, because it's just, we need to, we don't know what's going to happen to people who die and they have been under the control of the illusion. We don't know. As a psychic medium, I've come across people who are earthbound and they're suffering greatly. But I think sometimes we want to hold on to the way things used to be.
Right.
We need to just let go. There's so many things but it's good that we're together and it's good that we're getting together, and I'm so blessed to have met you and Eva and the groups, and it really is. And I don't know if people can go to Facebook. I don't think I'll say the group's name because I think she would want to scream, but I would hope that she would come on the show. Maybe we can all come on and have a round table, you know?
Yeah. That'd be fun.
That'd be very good, because everybody's still going through the same stuff on different wavelengths and different dimensions, not dimensions, you know. And it would be good to find what's in common.
Right, in different countries. Yeah.
I am so worried about China, though. I literally, every day, I just pray, and I'm like, I don't know if you've seen that or if anybody, I just want to remind people to keep praying for them. I don't even know what else to do. I don't know what we can do. I don't think we can call anybody to get help for them.
Right.
But I know that they're still in lockdown, and I guess their culling of the herd has been going well. And I don't know what we can do about that. Do you want to speak on that a little, or you don't have to? But as an energy worker, what do you think
about
that?
Well, yeah, I just think like, what I touched on earlier, we can just certainly send prayers and healing to them, but they are ultimately, as a group, as a people, they are ultimately their own savior. So they have to come together and work on their own and try to remember that this isn't how life's supposed to be, and try to remember that they are sovereign, and that, you know, if enough of them said no, then, you know, there's not enough guns in the world to, you know, for those billions of people, that
very
if
true.
Enough said no. So that's just, you know, trying to send healing to them, send prayers that they will awaken, and
send a nice set. That's the sad thing, is that the psychology of it gets us to the point of just victimhood.
Right.
And it's like, oh my gosh, you know?
Yeah, that learned helplessness, that experiment, you know, with what was it, the dog in a cage or something, and it was electrocuted? Yeah, and just learned helplessness, so that then when the cage door was opened, he didn't move. You know, he just kept being electrocuted, you know, zapped, not electrocuted as into the point of death, but shocked. And so that's what people, especially under, well, actually all of us, really, because all forms of government are hierarchical, you know, and so we've had this learned helplessness that we can't do anything without the government.
That's a really good point. It was that, when I took philosophy in 2020, oh my God, it was the worst course I ever took. Thank God I was online, because I really wanted to slice my own throat. But we learned about the Plato, not Pavlov, that was the other course, Plato's cave.
Yeah. Exactly. It's what you want to see. Yeah.
It's just people don't want to look, and you have to get to that point where, I don't know what triggered me. And you know what I think it was? I think it was my children, my beautiful babies.
Yeah.
That when they were born, and I looked into their faces and I said, now this is the reflection of God. My parents, my family, all the things I went through, I touched on evil, I touched on holy, everything that happened, I didn't understand any of it until I held those babies in my arms. And I think that there's always something that brings us to that point, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what, you know, I think those people in the parasites are running. I think they're running scared.
Yep, I think so too.
And, you know, if they're doing this to children, there's going to be a lot of millstones being handed out.
Yeah.
I think they really need to wake up to that fact of, you know, you can call us and make us disappear and silence us. It doesn't change the truth.
Right.
Yeah. That's a wonderful world.
Well, it is. It is. If we can concentrate on our power, yep, and our sovereignty and our healing, that we can turn it around, I think. I fully believe that.
I do. I really do. And I appreciate my dreams. I'm not saying my dreams are really hard to deal with. They are, but I appreciate them because they help me now.
Right.
Things that you saw years ago will help you now.
Right, yeah.
And that's the gift. That's the gift from above that really is. And also, this is not our reward, I don't think. I don't believe this is our reward. I think that the world is going to be healed, and it's going to be, I don't know how else to put it except to say it's resurrected.
Right.
And this will be our nirvana, our heaven, whatever. The world will be perfected. But I don't think that's where we're supposed to be celebrating that just yet.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we've got a lot of work to do. Even if, you know, this, because there are some theories that the earth has already ascended and we're kind of going along for the ride, and then eventually she'll shake off the ones that are, you know, going into the AI timeline. But even those of us who are left behind, we're going to, there's a lot of cleanup to do. A lot of cleanup of the earth, the pollution, a lot of healing for people. Because when people start waking up, it'll be en masse, and there will be a lot of going crazy because they realized, oh my gosh, I went along with this for so long, and what did I do to myself, my body, my loved ones, my children?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So we also need to work on ourselves, not only for ourselves, but for those who are going to be with us through all of this.
Yeah.
We have to work on ourselves to become leaders and healers to help those who will need us.
That's a very good point. I wonder what they're putting in the artificial intelligence. I wonder what are actually in the robots. I wonder if they summon demons and put demons or some type of possession.
Yeah, I don't know. Anything's possible, certainly.
We can summon some angels to go into some other ones. Well, you've been an awesome guest, Tracy. I've talked more with you than any guest I've had. I don't usually have guests because I was so technically moronic, I couldn't connect anybody. But I hope you'll come back. And everyone in chat is like, yes, you're very good. And I think that's the beginning of something in your life that's going to be bringing you more access to more people. Something told me to ask you to come on, and it's so interesting the way that works.
Yes.
I hope that you can come back on anytime.
Oh, but I would love to, yes. And I chose, you know, 8-8 Lionsgate Day, so it's like, yeah, I'd be glad to.
But it's 10 of, and yes, they are. Yeah, that Uch says they want to trap human souls. You know, I wonder, that's a good point. Yeah, I forgot about that. I wonder that, too. Oh, that's a terrible thing, isn't it? But,
right. Yeah, I've heard of that, to trap human souls, but maybe for a time, but our soul is so powerful that it can't be trapped forever.
Yeah, I think that too.
It might be part of our learning journey. We decide that, you know, some of these people do, but it can't be forever, you know.
That's a scary thing.
I was going to say, that's like trapping the divine. How can you trap the divine? Because we're all part of the, you know, the infinite source. So I don't think it would work for too long.
It's so interesting to just think about that. I mean, we don't have the answers, but it's so interesting. I mean, maybe morbidly interesting, but it's so interesting to have that. There's so many times that there are spirits around, and the other night I woke up and something walked out of my closet, and I was like, really? You know, come on. None of this.
Yeah.
I'm But how does that happen? Was it something I did? Is it something they did? You know, it's so interesting how close we are to other dimensions and beings.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Right? Yeah, it's like a bleed through. Yep.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch those paranormal shows and I think, why are you going in these homes and calling out these demons and summoning and conjuring them, or conjuring and summoning them, and then wondering why things are getting worse?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get that.
Playing with fire.
He's going to get burned, you know?
Yeah.
But it's very, it really is interesting. You're going to come on my show. I want
yes.
you to come on my show because it's such a good, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it so much. You're such a gift. You really are. And hopefully we can get Eva and some of the other people on to have a little round table. I don't like to ask because when somebody doesn't answer me right away, I'm like, you're being a pain. And I'm not very persistent.
I'm the same way. I was like, okay, they didn't answer, so I'll go hide in the corner.
I'm a pest, you know. That's a good. I'm gonna wait now for break, which won't come, and so we can just banter back and forth.
Right.
But this is the Christine Korda Show, and you're listening to me on Revolution Radio, which is the number one in listener-supported radio in the world. Come on over to freedomslips.com. I think that's still up. We're going to be leaving chatsy.com because they're going to, I don't know where, something on Element. And there's another chat room. So if you come in here and you click on app.element, you can go to their new chat room. I'm not making fun of it. I have just no idea what's going on technically. But we will not be on Chatsy anymore, and I can't get into freedomslips.com chat room because I'm technically moronic, but we will find a way to keep the chat going. But please come on over, peruse the website, look at all the offerings of shows that you have on Studio A and Studio B. Every show here is a great show, and all the moderators and all the people, the men and women who keep the chat rooms running, keep the studios running, are awesome, and we love them very much, and we appreciate them very, very much. So come on over, and if you can, make a donation at freedomslips.com. We have a monthly goal that we try to meet to keep all of these shows on the air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I have had a two-hour block of radio show to spew my data for 8 years, and they have very decent to me. Let me tell you something, Tracy. Very decent Revolution Radio, and we really do appreciate them. You can also get a hold of them if you're interested in having a radio show. That's for you, Tracy, as well as my listeners, if you want to come and join the Revolution Radio team. I don't know what's open and what's not. So, again, it's 5:53, and we'll get you back on because you have a lot to say, and you really, really say that well. But hopefully what you say will be heard.
Yes, and thank you for inviting me. Yeah, like you said, it was just out of the blue. It's like, oh, okay, sure.
But this is the first time you ever did a radio show? It can't be.
Being interviewed, yeah. Yep. And I haven't really technically had a radio show. I did kind of like little podcasts before, but not like this. No, not certainly nothing live.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I started Blog Talk Radio 2010. Can you imagine?
Wow, that's awesome.
I know, it's amazing. It's been so long. And it was just, I thought, yep, got to do it. Just got to do it. Because I'm pretty much TV ugly. But, you know, I have a fairly good voice. So I just don't like to be on TV. I think
right.
I just totally, I don't know how the windows closed. I literally just closed the windows on my computer. You can't even make this stuff up. You can't even do this. If I couldn't do it if I tried. But anyway, it was such a nice show. And the next thing, what are some of the things that you'd like to talk about for next show? Reincarnation?
Yeah, that'd be fine. Anything, really.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't have an opinion on everything, but
I do.
I can hang with it.
I don't necessarily think I'm right, but you know, I'll give my 5 cents every day anyway.
Right? Yeah. And Twin Soul, that certainly would be. I don't know if there's an interest in that, but
I am interested in that.
Yeah. It's not like the twin flame. Oh, that's more codependent, and that's lonely people tend to go, oh, my twin flame. No, mine was more twin soul. So that mine is totally, it's very different from probably most what other people have experienced that at least is written out there. So yeah, I'd like to talk about that. If anybody's interested, that'd be fun.
That would be great. Anytime, what day is it? Monday. Every Monday, you're welcome to come on. It would be great. I think everybody in chat will agree, yes, to have you come back.
Okay. Cool. And they should come on your show, too.
now that I'm getting more understanding on how to do it, because I didn't have guests on for so long because it wouldn't connect, and it was mortifying to try to get to talk to somebody and they can't connect.
Right, yeah.
But I'd like to start taking calls and have callers call in. And, you know, I used to do psychic readings. I can still do that. And that would be interesting to get a perspective on people's issues.
Yeah, that would be cool. Somebody could call in, you know, like if they have problems and you and I could both, you know, try and do input. Yeah.
Tracy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wonderful. I'm going to hang up. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Monday on Revolution Radio Chris Court Show. Bye.
Bye.
Everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take,
but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point.